Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And we're so looking forward to today's show. We are going to actually spend our whole entire hour on real estate and Santa Fe, New Mexico. And those of you who are used to listening to us know lots of times we split the show up. And today's going to encompass a lot of everything. So really, really looking forward to this. And we have Peter Dobbs. Is going to fill us in on Santa Fe. Have you ever thought of living in Santa Fe, New Mexico? I'll tell you, I pulled some notes, and I'm learning a lot already. I've learned a lot already just in talking to Peter about this that I didn't know about Santa Fe. And it attracts people from all over the world, either full-time or part-time residents, and is a major tourist destination. Santa Fe is known as the city different in the land of enchantment. Is one of the best-known small cities in the U.S. and possibly the entire world. It's a center for a wide range of arts and cultural activities and was for a long time the second most important art market in the U.S. Peter Dobbs, after a career in banking and finance, moved to Santa Fe, obtained a real estate license, and joined Berkshire Hathaway. He's now an associate broker. Peter says, people, and when it comes to real estate, I mean, I can totally, this is, makes so much sense, too, and so many of our listeners are agents and brokers and then general public. So Peter says people say that real estate markets are saturated because there are too many realtors in any particular market. He strongly disagrees with this. He said there's always room and opportunity for well-organized, professional, highly motivated individuals in any market. I always like to say competition's good for the soul. It's really not competition. We stand out when we're helping our people, right? And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Peter Dobbs. Hey, Peter.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm over on the East Coast today. You're over all the way over on the other side. And I so look forward to this and your rich history and about Santa Fe and your love for Santa Fe. Definitely I could hear in speaking with you that you really are passionate about it. So tell us a little bit about you first. I'm always interested in you and people and what makes people tick and change and get into the real estate field, what makes people want to live in certain areas, because, you know, many people have to do it because of jobs or other reasons, but lots of people, especially these days, are able to do it because they want to do it. So, love to hear about how you've gotten into all this in your history.
Okay, I'll give you a little bit about me, not too much, but I was born in the UK some time ago. Won't tell you how long. And my father was a country doctor in Yorkshire, and he sent me away to school, to boarding school when I was 7.5 years old. So my travels began then. Then I went to college in England, and I became an accountant, qualified accountant. And one day I was sitting in the middle of England wondering what I was going to do, and I saw an ad for the Chase Manhattan Bank when I applied and joined and eventually went to New York with my wife and one-year-old son. And then I worked in New York City, and then they sent me to Malaysia, where I spent 2 years, back to New York. And then spent the rest of my career in banking. I lived in Singapore, I lived in Hong Kong, And I was a workout specialist, which is for all realtors to do with OREO, other real estate owned. And I spent quite a lot of time
OREO, working out. Oh.
OREO, yeah. Which banks, this is when the bank takes the foreclosure and ends up owning the asset it didn't want to own. And so you have to basically get rid of them. And so that's when I began getting involved in real estate. I retired. I spent some time teaching and went to live in Boston. They're my children. And then I had a friend who had moved to Santa Fe, and he said, you should come and have a look, which I did, and it seemed okay. It wasn't anything special, it seemed. Then I began to wonder where, you know, where I should live. And so I decided after some to get a place here in Santa Fe, and we used it part-time, and then we moved here permanently, and retirement loomed, and I decided I'd get a real estate license, which I did, and went back to school and got my license, and here I am. So that's
Congratulations. Well, no,
yeah,
I want to hear it's all important. You're important. You're important, you know, in real estate, dealing with so many people, whether it's residential, commercial, whatever, you know, it just, our history makes a big difference in relating to people and caring about people. You having so much experience with REOs is definitely gave you a huge lift in getting into our industry. And we're starting to see that in more markets, that some of the markets, some are still really busy and some are slowing down a little bit. Unfortunately, REOs are not going to go away, right, where people have to, they foreclose on the property and then the lenders have to resell it. Yeah.
There are less than there used to be, of course, after the crash of 2009, but they still happen, unfortunately, for people, and they still have to be dealt with. And if you're prepared to do what you need to do to find a buyer for such a property, then it's challenging and it's complicated and very, very rewarding. Actually, not financially only, but personally rewarding to you know, get a property which has been abandoned, basically, and bring it back to life and find someone to buy it. So you know, that's quite, it's quite challenging. So I do that.
I love it. So, well, Santa Fe, so you got your license, you had already went into retirement and decided, you know, hey, it's time to come out of it, or,
yeah.
And you got your license in Santa Fe, and, yeah.
You don't want to, when you wake up in the morning and say, what am I going to do today? That's a question you don't want to have to ask yourself, I think. For me, I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to try and do deals. So, you know, I think
my wife
asks me, what are you going to do today? I think, no, I don't want to be asked that. So I didn't know much about it. I went into residential rather than commercial. Commercial would have been more natural for my background, but I thought that I prefer the idea of residential. There's more of it. It's more diverse, and it's a completely different business. So I went into that, and I joined Berkshire Hathaway because I recognized the name, and I think a reputation is very important. And having a backing like that to me is extremely important. So I didn't really know much about the business. I took the test, the two tests, the national and the state. The state of New Mexico is a very, very active real estate commission. And
really?
We are really seeing new regulation every week and every month almost, new regulations, adjustments to existing regulations. And so for a new broker, it's very, very challenging because it's complicated. And we are very, as I say, we are very heavily regulated for probably good reason. And so once you realize
that... Yeah, you thought you belonged to the... Yeah.
Go on.
Being a realtor, you belong to National Association of Realtors, so it all trickles down, you know, from the association down to the local boards, and then, of course, the Real Estate Commission. It's a good thing.
Yeah,
it protects the public.
So someone comes along and says, I want you to help me find somewhere to live. And then you find somewhere, you take them around, and then you find somewhere, and then they say, I want to make an offer. And you say, oh, my God, what do I do now? And suddenly there you are. You're in a transaction. Someone's life's affected. And, you know, you've got documentation to do. You've got offers to make. You've got counters to make. So all that is it's a very steep learning curve. But I mean, and you know, you do it to protect people. You protect the seller and the buyer, and you try to get a good transaction done at the end of the day.
Right, and negotiating and overseeing everything is so important.
Well, yeah, but even before that, actually, the most challenging part is getting business.
Really?
Here it's extremely competitive. We have probably in Santa Fe, which is not a big place, probably this is the high point of the year when most of the tourists are here for the opera and for all the various events that take place. It may be 70, 80, 90,000 people. And there are probably, right now, because the market's booming, there are probably 1,000 realtors here. And that's a lot of people.
So, you think 1,000 realtors, and looking, I was pulling some stats, but, you know, of course, on the internet, it's not exact. I said, one stat said over 70,000 people in Santa Fe, and another said over 120.
Yeah.
So,
well, it varies.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of big second homes here, which people come to, and I'm not sure that counted in the, in the data. I think that it's hard to measure. There's a lot of realtors, some of them are simply part-timers.
It's amazing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a very
heavy
concentration.
Really? So, do you have in Santa Fe? Do you have like the city and the county, like the suburbs, a little bit and out, or is it all pretty much the same?
No, it's not. It's the city. And then there's the county, and the county is very big. The county goes, it's probably 20 by 20 miles, I should think, maybe more, 30 by 30 miles radius. And so that encompasses, like any other place, a whole lot of different locations and sectors and areas. But the city itself is really the sort of most of the old historic Santa Fe is the city, and the commercial center and the business center. Actually, the state government is also here too in Santa Fe, and that brings a whole another dimension to the place.
So that's the capital of New Mexico. I bet it does. It's got Santa Fe means holy faith in Spanish. I'm looking at what that. Yeah.
Yes, it does. And it has the cathedral here, the cathedral in the city, and then in the most of the surrounding towns there are shrines and old churches. Well, it's not unlike a lot of places, but a lot of places
right.
for pilgrimages and that sort of thing. And also, of course, we have the reservations surrounding the city for the various Indian tribes. And we say Indian. We don't say Native American. We say Indian here.
You do?
And that's more.
It's improper.
Yes, we do.
Right.
Yeah, we do say that. Right. When I first came here, I said Native American. And then I began to realize that people didn't want to be called that. They wanted to be called Indian. And so that's what you learn after a while, and the Indian influence here is enormous. The commercial involvement in the city is huge. So,
wow.
And then also if you there are residential areas on the reservations, and then you have to deal with a whole new body of law, of custom. Of ownership of land, rights, and easements.
So the reservation. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, reservation.
So with the reservations, then is the land around it able to be purchased, and the reservations have their own, of course.
You can buy land in the reservation. It's always leasehold land. So there've been developments built in certain reservations which have been leased. So outright ownership remains with the. With the tribe, and you can buy, but you buy subject to leasehold requirements, and it can be quite complicated. And there's the issue of water rights. New Mexico's biggest problem is water, lack of water. last year, for example, I live on a golf course. We were going to close the golf course down because there was no water. We had no rain. We had no rain from January through to August. And there was no snow. It's 7,000 feet here, and that's something people don't always realize.
Okay.
And that poses other challenges for people. The area is quite thin. But so we had no. This year we've had a lot of snow, we've had a lot of rain, and the place is wonderful. Everything is green, and the flowers are coming out, and it's gorgeous.
That's great.
But every year we worry about water every year, and so if you buy a piece of land and it's not hooked, and there's no access to city or county water, then you have to drill a well, and you have to build a sewage system for yourself, and these all have regulations. So if you're doing
do you have septic systems there or sand mounds or what if you don't have a sewer, if you don't have any
septic
public sewer?
Septic systems with fields, yeah. And then the wells, you have to drill a well, and then you have to get licensed, you have to be certified. And so there's a whole body of regulation, which is quite necessary, of course. So it just makes life of a real
now you have the zoning regulations, so... From what I'm hearing, you have the regular zoning regulations on land that's owned by the city and county or state land,
yes.
And then the reservations have their own whole set of rules,
yes.
Separate completely. But it sounds like in the reservations, then, you can never get fee simple. Is it always leasehold property?
To my knowledge, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
can
you get fee simple on the rest of it?
Yes.
The
city is a largely a preservation area, also for obvious reasons, and so there are restrictions on what you can do if you buy a property in certain parts of the city that it's preserved to prevent destruction of historic buildings, and that's another thing you have to be careful about. Make quite sure that when someone buys something, they can do what they want to buy. That's also the role of the realtor. To do that, and
they really need you. They need you to be able to pull everything, get all the information, and then, of course, they need to check with the zoning as well.
That's right.
So I've seen.
That's what we tell them.
Yeah.
We tell them that they need us, but we also get a lot of. I'm sure you know the expression "FISBO,"
mm-hmm.
Sale by owner. We get a lot of that, and it's a whole new challenge for people to try and sell their own house. And without the protection of the real estate structure around them, and so that's something else which we do.
Right.
Like every other market, I think there's nothing unusual about this market.
No, but because of the internet, I think you're seeing more and more people do that, and then they still definitely need the structure. I agree with you, and make a win-win about it. I found over the years with a lot of zoning issues and other things, even if the papers say this or the clerk says this, it's still imperative for the buyer to check that out themselves, so we're not liable if somebody made an error, in a capacity that we wouldn't have been able to clear up, with the zoning office. Interesting. It's really.
Yeah, I mean.
I love it.
Yeah.
It just sounds like you have. Well, is there a lot for sale there? I mean, is it pretty wide open? Somebody can come in, and there's quite a bit for sale, or is it limited?
It's a lot of land for sale. Yes, a lot. I've got one listed right now. If you're interested.
Come on.
It's not moving because there's so much to sell. There's so much land, and a lot of it is very arid, very dry. I mean, it's. But it's construction. Some of the big housing companies are here now building non-traditional houses. If I can just talk about housing here for a second. Can I do that? I mean, the traditional style of New Mexican housing involves a flat roof. And this brings about a whole host of new problems because flat roofs probably came about because there wasn't much rain. That's fine. But when it rains... and you haven't looked after your roof, you get leaks. And when you get leaks, you get mold. And this is a whole, with a very rainy season, there are tremendous numbers of roof problems, followed by mold problems. So for the realtor, again, that presents another problem of disclosure, because, if you have to disclose. You're required to disclose, and this is within the
so
framework.
They're not building a pitch roof. The flat roofs are more common, huh? But not the pitch roof, or are they?
No, they're beginning.
What about
beginning
water?
To build pitch. They are beginning to build pitch roofs, yes. And the big
what
the
about
big
water catchment
home builders.
Systems? Oh, okay.
Well, a lot of people do catch their own water. I mean, they recently people have begun to put up barrels for runoff from their roofs, and you know, people are going to realize that with the rain and there is water, they can catch and use in their yards, or they can use for you know for other purposes. So there is that. We have reservoirs, and we have a water table under the city and in the county, which is apparently today is in very good shape. The Rio Grande goes through here, and right now that's pretty full. And running fast because the snow is still melting. We have skiing here too in Santa Fe. And
really,
Taos,
it gets that cold?
I mean, Taos, which is about 75 miles away. Yeah, it's very good skiing indeed.
Okay. Wow. See a little bit of everything. Because you're so close to drive to many other areas that you can almost probably hit all seasons, at certain times of year.
Well, Boston is 2,500 miles away. I've done that twice. I know that much. Las Vegas,
it's a little far from
Las Vegas, Nevada is 680 miles away.
Okay.
And then Phoenix, Arizona is about the same. So, and Denver is about this. It's quite a bit less. Denver's about 400.
California?
California, about 1,000 miles to Palm Springs, I think, roughly. Maybe a bit more. And so you can drive all these places quite easily if you want to. You can fly. Albuquerque is a fairly good airport. A lot of connecting flights.
How far
flights.
Is Albuquerque? Well, what's the closest airport to you? Because Albuquerque, or can you use there's airports, I'm sure.
Santa Fe International Airport, which has two flights that they have, I think, or three flights today. Then Albuquerque is about 60 miles away. And that's a busy airport and a big, but it doesn't, you have to connect always, except you can fly from Albuquerque to the West Coast, but if you're going east, you have to go through Dallas or Chicago or Atlanta. You cannot get from Albuquerque direct to Boston or New York or Washington or any of the big cities in the East Coast.
You have to connect,
which is a pain, yes. But there we are.
The history, Santa Fe has over 400 plus a year history, and I've noticed in here it says that UNESCO chose it in 2005 as one of only 9 cities in the world to hold the creative city designation. The art must be amazing. And
it is actually amazing. And also I think that to live here, there are tremendous numbers of very interesting people. Very talented people. Population is somewhat skewed to the older retired side, and one of the things that's happening is that medical availability is growing rapidly. So that's a source of jobs.
We need
more jobs here.
That's good.
Yeah, we need more jobs. We don't need just government jobs. We need more jobs and new jobs. It's hard to attract companies here. It's difficult. The labor force is not very deep. It could be deep if it's a question of who makes the first move. Intel actually built 4 wafer fabs in Albuquerque a number of years ago, and that brought huge numbers of jobs there. Then they closed them down, which is very unfortunate. I'm sure there were reasons. I'm sure they went to other places. But you know, we need more jobs. We need more jobs in New Mexico.
What is the tax structure? What's the state tax structure? Do you have to pay a lot in taxes? Is it?
There's a sales tax here of about 8% sales tax, and probably 5% state income tax. But the money, you know, we need more money for education. The education, one of the focuses of the new governor, we have a new Democratic governor after a Republican governor, is to try to improve education. It's a very poor state outside of Santa Fe. I think 60% of the state's housing is mobile homes or manufactured homes.
That's incredible. 60% is huge.
Yeah, it is huge. You know, we do deals. I do deals with mobile homes and what we call double wides, where you have two mobile homes together and make very nice homes, actually. and we do a lot of business there. Many of the foreclosures are
also... Do they typically own the land underneath, or is somebody else owns all the land and then leases land to the mobile home?
It's freehold. You have to decommission the vehicle, which I didn't know, but I did one. You have to actually cancel the vehicle registration of the unit,
right,
and it becomes permanent.
Right.
And then you put it on a pad, and it becomes a home, and they're great, actually.
Well, they do that in a lot of states where you have to, as long as
yeah,
if it's permanent on the ground, you know, the foundation, then
yeah,
it changes rather than being part of motor vehicles. But the people own the land, though, right? They're not actually leasing, mobile home that they own on another parcel. Okay. Well, prefabs would work well.
Yeah, they do, yes. Then it becomes financeable, too. I mean, so there are programs to help people buy the homes on a normal mortgage basis. And actually, we have a program in New Mexico where you can get financing for a second mortgage provided by a state fund, which allows you to pay for your closing costs. So, and that's very popular, and it's a very necessary program. The state is addressing that need, and it helps us help people find housing. This is for first-time buyers mainly.
Right, that makes sense. Well, tell us how people can reach you. That's good to I know people contact us. We'll give them your information, but let's hear now.
What should I tell you? My phone number?
I guess your phone number,
Mexico.
Website, whatever way you'd like
okay.
to reach you.
Yeah, Peter Dodds, Dodds. 917, it's a New York City number, so don't worry about that. 917-514-1734. My email address is Peter, P-E-T-E-R, George, 42@gmail.com. And I'm with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Santa Fe Real Estate. We have to use the full name. It's a bit cumbersome. The firm is actually Berkshire Hathaway acquired the Prudential business in 2012.
Right.
And then rebranded it as Berkshire Hathaway. And in New Mexico, in Santa Fe, it's a relatively small office. Hasn't been there for a great deal of time, but we are building a business, and I think we're doing quite well. The market is
fantastic.
I think, like most real estate markets, it tends to be somewhat concentrated in relatively few brokers. I don't think that's unusual at all. But that's just how it is. And I think there are a great many brokers who simply want to do a couple of deals a year. That's hard. But
I don't know how they can. That's very hard.
Well, I think they have a friend who was going to do a deal, and they're going to save them the commission or something, or share the commission. And I think that happens a fair amount of times. But if you're going to do the business, it's virtually full-time, in my opinion. And I spend a tremendous amount of time, you know, making contact, trying to identify people who want to buy or sell homes. And it's extremely satisfying. I love it. It's quite different to banking, because banking was working with companies. Now you're working with people, and that's completely different. So very challenging.
Well, it sounds like you'll be having referrals in no time with the way you work and how you're thinking about it and how you want to help everybody. And so pricing, though, for example, on individual homes, I'm sure it varies where you are, which neighborhoods, just a range, what would our homes from what price to, say, max price?
Yeah, I think the average home sale, the average is about $450,000, I think. The shortage is
okay.
The shortage in the 200, in the 200 to 400 range of the great shortage. And then there are a great many expensive homes, which tend to which raise up the average into about 700, I believe. 720, I think, is the average.
Okay.
The market has been rising in price-wise over the last 2 or 3 years. Santa Fe took a long, long time to recover from the financial crisis, a long time. Markets absolutely, like most other places, collapsed, but Santa
right.
Fe did not recover.
Right.
And it's only been recovering
now
in the last 2 or 3 years. And the inventory is extremely low. Inventory used to be about 4,000. Now it's down to about 1,000 homes. and that's not
wow.
very much. And a lot of those expensive homes which don't sell easily, which take a long time to, are on the market for quite a long time in many cases. And a lot of people, the rental market here is extremely difficult and very high, and very little supply rentals.
The rental market is high?
Yeah, very, very high. I mean, expensive. Yes.
But high, like what would be a two-bedroom apartment, probably, approximately, maybe, or a house?
Two to 3,000 a month, probably.
Really?
Yeah, expensive. Okay. It's expensive. I mean, there's a lot of people have second homes here, and some rent them out, some
right.
don't. Where I
right.
live, I live in a
right.
in an HOA. People just don't live here. They come here 2 or 3 months. They come for the opera, which is the season is now the opera, and they come for that and the what is called the International Folk Market, which is next week, which is a huge event. They come for that and then they go away. They close up the homes and they go away, and come back. So there's a lot of that. And
wow.
so, and then in a market like today,
so if you
want to
buy, if somebody wants to buy, what if somebody wants to buy, I wouldn't call it a farm so much, but a ranch or even just a home on, say, 6 to 8 acres? Is that, I mean, is that something they could buy
yes.
for $400,000?
No.
Yeah.
It costs more than that. I mean, there are some. I mean, obviously, there are different areas. I have one now which is foreclosed, which is only 1 acre of land. It's a 5-bedroom house, which is not been lived in for a long time. It's in actually very good condition, and that's for sale at 360, 1 acre.
Okay. 1 acre.
And so there are other areas where the land is more expensive, particularly near rivers. If you go up north from here, up the Rio Grande, there are big properties for sale, but I see 9,000, a million for maybe 20, 30, 40 acres, maybe. And then
wow.
We had there was a great big ranch developed in a place called El Dorado, which now has 4,000 houses. Each of them has more than an acre. It's a huge area, beautiful area, actually. A lot of people don't like it. They think it's too far from Santa Fe. It's all of 8 miles. So, you know.
It's all
seems
of 8 miles?
A long
That's
way.
So funny.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the wet roads, huh?
Yeah, well, it doesn't
yeah.
rain very often. So, you know, it's very nice. And then there's behind where I live, there are the mountains and the hills, and there are lots and lots of little lanes and little dirt roads, and there are great big houses nestling in the forest above us. Beautiful houses.
Are there a lot of like restaurants? Are there a lot of restaurants and places to go, or museums, or
The restaurant scene here is crazy. There are new restaurants opening all the time, and there are chefs from New York and from all over the world come here, and they open restaurants, and some succeed and some don't. Some do Southwest menus,
mm-hmm.
you know, because burritos style food and Mexican style food, and then the ones come here with traditional food. There's a shortage of good Oriental restaurants. Oriental, that's an old word, isn't it?
Hmm.
Eastern Asian style restaurants.
Right.
But the restaurant scene here is crazy. It's frenetic, and there are some really good places. Some very very expensive places here too, because it does cater to people who come here who have wealthy people who come here. And then there are also
right.
loads and loads of coffee shops and places. So it's extremely active in that sense.
Hmm.
That's
really good.
It's amazing.
It's good to know. So it sounds like a lot of people, you said a lot of people are living kind of, it's difficult. And then there's a lot of people coming in, buying second homes, vacationing.
Yeah.
So that sounds like you get a mix of it. It's What about the hospitals for people that want to move there? Are the hospitals, and you said there's probably more opportunity for medical work?
Well, yes. I mean, there's a tremendous need for, like anywhere, I guess. But up until quite recently, there was definitely a shortage of high-quality medical facilities. And a lot of people would come here, and then if they got sick or they wanted treatment, they'd go back to Houston, or they'd go up to Cleveland or to New York or wherever whether they had
right.
their original medical care. Now it's changing, and I think that there's a new there's a hospital group here called Christus St. Vincent. They've been here for a long time. And then Presbyterian. Christos St. Vincent was a local group. And then Presbyterian, which was really out of Albuquerque, just recently built a hospital here. And that's bringing a whole new lot of competition. There are tremendous numbers also of doctors who come here and work part time, and they specialize in hip replacement or opticians or dentists, and they come and they go. I really believe it's actually improving tremendously. And Boston, I kept my medical care in Boston, which I still do, but now I'm much more comfortable coming here. So it's really improving a lot, and the depth is quite dramatic. And the last year or two, it really has, in my opinion, improved dramatically.
A typical day there. So Santa Fe, like you can't, are there roadways? I mean, where you have like beltways or highways, or is it pretty much anywhere you want to go is going to take you a while to get there? Or?
Well, Interstate 25 comes up from all the way down from the Mexican border, comes straight up to Albuquerque, Las Cruces it's called, then Albuquerque, then I couldn't hit a golf ball from my house to it, but I could maybe three or four shots, maybe a few more.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's
right.
it's very close to here. Then it goes straight up to Denver. So that's I-25,
yeah.
And it's interstate. The traffic here, if we have three cars in a row, it's a traffic jam. In Boston, I mean, I couldn't leave my home after 3 o'clock in the afternoon because of the traffic. There is no traffic here, comparatively speaking.
Okay.
So
even
it's
when
light.
It's opera time right now, when people come in the summer to visit, it's not really traffic. Wow.
No, there's nothing, literally nothing. I mean, it's always light.
What about lakes or reservoirs or places to go fishing, places to just go take a little boat out, any water type of
Well, there's a reservoir activities. North of here. There's a reservoir north of here about 25, 30 miles, I think. That's probably the major body of water. There are rivers. There's a lot of fishing here. It's difficult fishing because the rivers are not big. You have to really try hard.
No, they're not.
They're small rivers.
They're
maybe small rivers. Then the Rio Grande is quite large, and that's fishable. A lot of the land is owned. The riverbanks are owned by people, so you can't access it easily. But fishing is very popular here, yes. As is, outdoor sports are incredibly important here. Outdoor activities, hiking. Hiking is incredible. It's wonderful. I mean, there are walks everywhere, and people love it. As well as golf courses, but the actual natural beauty of the place, the sunsets and the sunrises are quite incredible. I've never seen anything like it. The beauty is amazing. So, it is truly a beautiful place. It is also high desert. So, I mean, some people don't like it because they think it's too arid or too dry or too, it's not green enough for them. But right now it's lovely. It's very green.
There's plenty. Plenty of outdoor activities all year long, so it sounds like, right?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of cycling, a lot of camping. People go camping a lot. And a lot of people travel, too. A lot of people come and go out of Santa Fe. It's a characteristic of people who come here. They love to travel as well. So Santa Fe for them is a place that they come and they rest, and then they go off somewhere else. It's an extremely restful place. Mm. It's very calm.
Sounds beautiful.
Actually. It is. It's absolutely lovely. But there's, some people who like water. It's not for them because they don't have ocean. There's definitely.
But you still have rivers, but they're not. It's not like you can put a boat in it, right? It's not like you put a boat in the river.
No, not really.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen a boat on the river.
Well, let me ask you this: Is it Is it pretty much the speaking language would be English, Spanish? Do you have some French? Because it says, I know some of the settlements from French New Orleans and Spanish Texas, that where we're talking years and years ago, opened up, I guess, in the 1800s.
No, there's Spanish is spoken very, very widely, mm-hmm. English, and no French. I've never heard French spoken. Well, that's not quite true. I've heard a couple of French people speaking French, but it's mainly Spanish and English. Those are the main, and there's a lot of people who speak Spanish. I have a client who speaks Spanish, and his daughter helps me. She translates for me, and we get on just fine. So,
That's fantastic. I printed out some. I love it. I printed out some things there. Do they still have Mexican silver mines out there? Like anything that they've still kept up from way back?
No.
There was uranium.
Yeah. There was a uranium mine out in a place called Grants, which has been closed down. And you can see the remains of lots of the mining activity. But there's no mining that I know of now. There's some coal mining in the very north. West of the state.
Okay.
That's on reservation land. And I should also say that New Mexico's biggest source of revenue is oil and gas. We have a really big
oil and gas
industry here. Yeah. It's the state's main revenue source. And of course, when the price of oil went down from 120 to 40, the state suffered dramatically because its revenues fell. You can imagine. A lot of the reservations have oil and gas on them, so that becomes a major source of revenue for the reservations. It's a very big business here.
The history is huge in Santa. I mean, just as amazing with the. I was looking back at the history, and it's just lovely.
A change of ownership.
Yeah. They've kept a lot of the. Wow.
It's not a state. I didn't know anything about it at all. I had no clue about the place when I came here. And then, as you come here and you realize what the history of it, the place is, it's quite amazing. It's very, very vital part of our lives here, actually.
So you and your wife fell in love with it after visiting a while, huh? And trying to, maybe we kept it, had a second home for a while and then decided to fully move, huh?
Yeah. That's right. Well, when you have a life like I do, traveling everywhere, there's no right place to live at the end of the day. There's no, where we're going to retire to. You can retire anywhere.
Right.
But I found that this is a place that makes it easy for you to retire, actually. There's always something to do here, and Tonight, for example, we have Music on the Hill, which is an event which happens, I think, during the summer once a week. And people go up to this place, and there's a large area where they sit and they bring their tables and their glasses, their bottles of wine, and listen to music and dance.
That's nice.
And that happens. And also we have it in the center, in a place called The Plaza. There's music every night, I think, there, where you can come and you can dance
nice.
You can just sit around and watch. So it's very, very... active in that sense.
That's really nice. I was looking about the schools. It says the public schools. It says about 14,000 students, making it the third largest district in the state. It says they have about 20 elementary schools, and then in addition to public schools, the city is home to over 30 private schools, from preschool to 12th, and prominent high schools. That's Desert Academy, Santa Fe Schools for Girls, St. Michael's High School, Santa Fe Waldorf Preparatory Schools, and then college and universities. When it's got the roots of Santa Fe University of Art and Design grow directly from New Mexico's oldest chartered college, St. Michael's College, and was founded in 1859. Sounds like there's quite a lot going on.
The education. I mean, education in New Mexico can always get better. The public school system needs support, and I won't really say much more about that. I think that we'd like to see a more
right.
you know, more money being spent, let's put it that way, on the public education sector. I think perhaps the, you know, you have private schools springing up for all kinds of reasons, but I'd like St. John's, for example, is an excellent, very unique college, provides a very unique education, and it's becoming more and more popular. Actually, this last year, I think I'm right in saying, St. John's actually decreased its tuition. I thought it was a misprint. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
People,
I think
huh?
that, yeah. And I think it's, and then there's a University of New Mexico in Albuquerque, and they have campuses throughout the state, and that's a very vibrant university system too. And I think that also we have an incredible community college here, which gets the support of very many people who come and live here, and you know, very prominent people come live here. They support the community college, and it's a quite incredible place. And I think we need to spend more time publicizing that as well as being a tremendous resource, which you would expect in a place like this. We'll get the support of the community. So that's a very interesting part of our society, I think.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. It's wonderful. No, it's just some of the history is amazing. I love it. So when you're in Santa Fe, well, we have about 10 minutes left, so I'm just going to want you to talk about whatever you want to talk about with Santa Fe without me asking questions. But I want to ask one question is, when, you know, like I've been in Hawaii for years, and then I'm on the East Coast too, and I travel a lot, and like Hawaii likes to, even though Hawaii is part of the United States, people, they like to feel like they're a little separate. Do you find that in Santa Fe, where people kind of like to be their own little country or their own area, or even though not a country, but I mean a little like Texas? But do you find that, or is it just maybe that's just something we all own and
no,
wherever we live?
No, you're right. Yes, you're absolutely right. I think that people live here actually pretty proud of living here, and I think that the state has a unique character. Every state has a unique character, but I think we are proud
right.
of the state's character. I find it very easy to become a New Mexican.
Really wonderful.
So yes, I think
that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's very open, and because so many people have come here from different places, they want to know about other people. They want to talk to other people. They want to get to know them and spend time with them, and
so they're very,
you know,
welcoming.
Talk about things. Yeah, very extremely welcoming.
That's great.
I can walk around and see people I know and talk to them, and I never been able to do that before. Working and living in New York City, that wasn't something I did. It takes me back to my childhood,
right.
growing up in England, when I knew everybody in the village. But now, you know, I know a lot of people here too. And
right.
I also spent.
Right.
I'm also I'm a mentor for an organization called SCORE. And we help small business.
Oh, that's great. I'm familiar. Right.
Yeah, it's a nationwide operation. I'm involved in that too. And that's a nice adjunct to what I do in real estate.
Congratulations. That's great.
But what real estate does too for you is it makes sure you get to know the place where you live. And initially, because most streets have Spanish names, it took me a while to get to know what was where, and now I begin to know that. And so real estate allows you to do that. It allows you to go anywhere and do anything you want to do in terms of getting to know a place and people. And I love to show homes and drive around to places and show homes to people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's just in a place like this, it's very easy to do, and it's very easy to get around. And I spend lots of time up in the hills, showing people homes in the hills, in the middle of winter, going down dirt roads with snow on them. So it's not just a city; it's got
beautiful.
This incredible surrounding area too, as well. But
right.
real estate's a hard business. You know that. You've got to work at
well,
it like
it's,
anywhere
it's,
else.
I've been in over 34 years, and my heart goes out because I'm building our membership to people, and it's about serving people and caring people, and you meet people from all different walks of life, all different places, and it's so interesting. I can tell you know that relationships you wouldn't have if it wasn't for real estate because of the connections and how that. So I call it the vehicle because we're able to help and serve so many people and give back and make a difference because, you know, when they're purchasing investments, even commercial deals, you still have to have really good people skills to be able to get the commercial deals through and the details and know the laws and or keep up on the zoning. But on a personal note, I think you were able to really help people that maybe wouldn't know how to buy, you know, or you educate them in a way and help and you know the area. And I just think I agree with you. It's not an easy business because everybody wants you all the time. And the better you get, more people want you all the time. So it's really important to structure your time and have boundaries. Otherwise, it can consume every minute of your life. And
my very first customer, client, first former client, was a young family with five children, and they never owned a home, and they didn't have any money. They're living with their parents in Santa Fe, and they wanted to buy a home, but they had no money. They both had jobs, good jobs, and they came to me, and I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And they said, "Well, we want to buy a home." And so we found something. We found a foreclosed double mobile home.
Oh, wow.
Which was in foreclosure, way, way out in the hills. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what to do. And we went to look at it a few times, and I saw this place, and it's actually quite nice. And then we made an offer on it. They made an offer, and it got accepted. And then we struggled, and we got everything done, and they bought the home. They had no money. They had enough money to pay for the inspection. And we got them into the home. And now when I go to the supermarket here, because his wife works in the supermarket, I see her from time to time. And I say to her, "How are you doing? How's the place?" And she says, "We love it." And that is really it. As simple as that. Because they got a home. They didn't have a home. They now live in the place they like. And that's the job. It's an end product to this. And it's not just doing deals and making commissions. It's really about what you achieve. And it sounds awfully kind of, you know, a bit trite, but it's really not. That's really how it works. And because we have such a variety of people here, you can help all kinds of different people from all different kinds of backgrounds. And quite what just really surprised me is how many people don't know how real estate works.
Really?
Don't know how a transaction works. Yeah, it's quite amazing. And so, you know, that's also part of it. So it's for those of us in the business, we also learn. It's a learning process for us, too. So, you know, it's a bit selfish to say that, but it's true. I wouldn't say we learn at the expense of our customers, but we learn alongside them.
You can't train at the expense of customers. You have to ask all those questions. You
That's
know,
right.
Get the zoning and put all the contingencies in and have the feasibility studies.
That's right.
And that's the thing about maybe not knowing all of it, but you know the questions to ask, right, to be able to make sure that, hey, this has to be checked out.
I have one right now. We have the general inspection. We have the mold inspection. We have the radon. We have the roof. We have the walls. And these are all inspections that someone wants to do before they buy a home. And you have to know this stuff. You have to know what it costs. You have to know where to get the people to do it. And, you know, you've become a general contractor in a way.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's definitely, there's a lot of moving parts to it, and it seems easy after you've been in it for so long. I mean, in the sense of, like, I've been in so long, I could do it in my sleep with my eyes closed, but it's, there's a lot of little moving parts, you know, that we don't realize that are so important, because these are people's lives, and a lot of
investments,
and also teaching them to make investments and learn, you know, for their assets for the future. And I always say home is where the heart is, because it really is. I mean, and your home is supposed to be a place that you have a haven and you're comfortable. And it's funny, though, in all these years, too, I see where one person's treasure may be someone else saying, "Oh, I wouldn't want that in a million years," you know, where someone else may say, "No, I absolutely love this." So I always find it's so important for us to listen and hear what they're saying and then maybe show them some things. Then you get a better grasp, right? Many times somebody doesn't really totally know what they want, right? Again, you can hear, "Wait a minute, what about this? Had you thought about this?" They're like, "Wow, I love it. I hadn't thought about it." So I love it. It's very I don't think we get rewarded as much as maybe a minister, priest, or doctor does, because I would love to see that more. I mean, I'm just saying after all the years in the business, but there is a reward to it. You know, it's about, it's still serving. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I agree. Yeah. Well, I live in an HOA.
It has been.
Homeowners Association.
Huh? An HOA?
And that also presents all this. And we all know HOAs are complicated, but, you know, it's also been an education for me because I lived in this place. I didn't really know what it was until I became a realtor. Then I realized what I'd bought.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole other little moving parts, and it's all good. It has been such a pleasure having you on. We'll have to get you on other times, too, and maybe get you on some of our calls where we just talk about this industry and what you know, different problems and solutions, things like that. We do those types of calls, too. So it's just fun. It's fun to hear other people's perspectives as well. And Santa Fe, we've got 4 minutes left. What do you – I'm in everything I'm here, it just reminds me, and all that I'm seeing is such a – has such rich history, and that they've been able to keep a lot of the history while allowing it to grow. I think it's beautiful that reservations that belong there are there, and I'd like to learn more about it. It's definitely a place that I want to put on my list to go visit. It's and you're the one to call, Peter Dobbs.
Well,
for real estate,
yeah.
And it seems so quaint. It really sounds quaint. It says they have over 1 million visitors each year, and I wonder if that 1 million is all during this time period or if it's spread out through the year. It's
Well, there's a new one quickly. There's a new thing. There's been a new company called MeowWolf, M-E-O-W, Wolf, which has been set up and founded here to put on what I would call strange displays using all kinds of artwork. And that's all I can really say about it. I haven't been to see it. It's attracting enormous numbers of people. And that has become really a very important part of the profile of the city, which wants so much to have new business come here. And the new business that comes here really almost has to be linked to the art world. It has to have that kind of dimension to it, I believe. We do have one very big investment company here, which has been here for quite a long time, called Thornburg. And they've been here a long time. But generally speaking, most of the new business has linkages to the art world, to history. The museum sector
right.
is huge here, too. So I mean, there's always, we're never going to break away from that. And that means also that the city center itself will always remain vibrant. And we're not going to see a
right.
kind of a movement out of the city center. And that, I think, is one of the most important things we have to preserve.
I love it. It makes sense. It's absolutely.
So visitors are always welcome. And
always welcome. I love
know?
That. I love it. Oh, welcome with open
always.
Arms. It's not like, you know, some places say, no, don't come in here. This is beautiful. Yeah, no, my hat's off to you to be a SCORE mentor, too, and what you're doing. So you're taking all your knowledge and you're helping people, too, in addition to helping with real estate, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And
that's we thrive on tourism.
So
I mean, we need visitors. We need visitors. We welcome visitors. That's absolutely not just a commercial ad. That's a fact. We look forward very much to the busy season when people come here and the streets are full of people walking around. It's very much a walking city. And we love that. And it's the sun gets a bit hot in the daytime because the air is pretty thin. There's no humidity. The humidity is always in the 20s. And coming from Boston, where it was probably 80.
What's the temperature yearly? Okay.
Today, the sun gets extremely hot, but it cools down very rapidly. So it gets up into the 90s quite often, but it cools down very rapidly. And even with the new amount of rainfall we've been having, it's still not humid. And I don't have any air conditioning in my house, just open windows and fans. And so it's a very livable climate.
I love it. I love it. We're coming to the end of the hour. I hate to cut us off because it goes off. It's like I want to have you back. I thank you so much for coming on. You're amazing. I can hear your heart and your desire to help, and I love it. So
you're
to
kind.
Everybody
you're
out
kind.
There, I wish you peace.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.